Sean LeComber here in Winnipeg. Welcome back to Winnipeg. First of all, I feel like, and I feel like you are our favorite Canadian comedian's favorite Canadian comedian. You know what I mean? Like the other Canadian comedians, they always kind of look towards you as like their favorite comedian that they've worked with. I don't know. Does that make you feel a certain way, or do you agree or disagree?
They're just being nice, you know. It's mostly just because I'm easy to work with, right?
Because I think it was Rob, right? It was Rob Pugh that was here that said nothing but praises about you and everything. And there was that CBC article where it's like the last, I think the 10 most Canadian comedians that will make you laugh. And I feel like there was an omission that people were actually shooting for you to be on that list of Canadian comedians that you should be looking
really?
For.
Really? I never heard that.
Well, yeah.
Never heard it. Well, maybe they can come to Rumors and see why the comedians are wrong. Yeah, no, we did a show. We were there last night talking about, we were talking a lot of coronavirus talk. We're going to quarantine Rumors like a Japanese cruise ship. And just wait till everybody had it.
Were there any face masks at all at Rumors?
No, there was not any. But I mean, God, there's like the face. Isn't it weird? Isn't the masks things weird? Like people just wear them, even though they're told it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's a placebo type of thing. Yeah. Where it's like I think there's a weird sense of safety, even though that does nothing.
Yeah.
Or it might just be peer pressure. Who knows?
Yeah, it's like frontline healthcare workers are supposed to wear them, but we're not. So yeah. I think some people feel like, well, how come the doctors and nurses are supposed to wear it, but not me?
Yeah, it's a weird panic thing, I think.
Yeah, but there's a lot of, you know, like, is there any coronavirus in Winnipeg?
I don't think so. No, I think we're good.
You guys are landlocked.
The health and safety people are like, there's no need to panic. Or yeah. anything like that, which yeah. would make obviously more people
that
panic.
That makes people panic. Yeah, because it's don't panic. Should yeah. I panic? I'm yeah. panicked. I'm already panicked.
Exactly. They do the opposite of what you're told
yeah.
to do.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about why the podcast between you and Kathleen is called the Dead Baby Bear Podcast.
Yeah, it's a weird, it is a weird title. but yeah, we were driving through BC. I mean, it's my fault. we're driving home from a gig in BC, and we saw this bear on the side of the road, and we were like, oh, it's a little baby bear. And then as we slowed down and drove by, we realized that it was dead.
Oh my God.
And it was like, oh, and you know, we were both kind of sad about it, but right. Kathleen, you know, she's very sensitive.
Right.
So she was like, oh my God. And she kind of like teared up. And then as we were driving, you know, like hours had passed. And we would just like tell stories and be laughing. And every time she would laugh, I would just look at her and say, dead baby bear. And she would immediately go from laughter to tears.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So it was a real great way to change her emotions and like just a shock to her system.
Wow.
So then every time, yeah, it was like a magic trick. Every time I wanted her to cry, I would just say, dead baby bear. And she would just,
that bear. How long did it take her to get over that, and then what led to the idea of like, you know what, let's have a conversation and let's have it be about
yeah.
the dead baby bear.
Well, and then we Googled dead baby bear, and it means to be very high on marijuana or something.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, it's a term, like it's an actual thing, like. And anything that you can think of, you just Google it and it's something else.
And even in the description, it's like, you guys drink nut-based smoothies.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Is it a different nut-based smoothie every time, or is it the same?
Well, that was just the first time we did one. I went to this smoothie place, and I ordered these elaborate smoothies, and it took an hour.
Really?
Like, it took an hour to get these smoothies. I was like, yeah, well, I'll get the... They're like, okay, yeah, and then they just, like, blending and grabbing nuts, and I'm like, I just wanted a couple, they're like, oh, it takes a long time to make these smoothies. I'm like, you could have told me how yes. long it takes to make these smoothies, so I was like 45 minutes late for the first podcast, and I had to apologize and say, I'm sorry, I was here an hour ago, but it took a while to get these nutty smoothies.
Was this a Starbucks thing, or was this just like
No, it was like a off-brand, something weird smoothie place. I don't even know what it was, if it was Blends or something like that.
That is so interesting.
Blends with a Z, I think. But yeah, it's not. Do you do a podcast or do you do?
Well, this is technically my podcast. Just to get
this
the
is
rumors.
It.
Yeah. Which is good because I don't have to be the funny one. Like, that's not necessarily.
But podcasts
my job
are kind of fun. It's nice to just kind of have a conversation as opposed to, like, you know.
Yeah.
Even in stand up, like, I'll try to be like, oh, I'm just going to make it a con. Like, I'll try to talk to the crowd.
Right.
As much as I can, because it's more fun to have a conversation than it is to kind
of... It's funny that you bring that up, because I remember the start of this podcast, because I didn't even start this podcast. It was way back when. But I think there was more of a I feel like there was more of an expectation for the comedians to like show their chops on this recording, just to be like, this is to show how funny you are. But for me, it's kind of evolved into like, let's get to know these comedians, because you know, yeah, not only are they funny, but they also have a lot of insight too.
Yeah, right? Usually, yeah, a lot of it's kind of a, you know, yeah, there will be a lot of times where it's like, okay, you know, the comedian's coming in, let's set him up to tell two of his jokes,
right.
And the idea being like, that's going to sell the most tickets because people will laugh and they'll, you know, but then they come to the show and they're like, hey, I already heard all this.
Right,
like,
right.
This guy already said this on the radio.
But even through your observation as a stand-up comedian, a lot of the stuff is just kind of on the spot or just like observations, even within the crowd and everything. That
yeah. And it's
those
more,
shows the same for you for the most part, right?
No. And you're trying to make it different and you're trying to engage with the audience and like get something out of them. Because a lot of times the audience is more interesting than I am.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like last night, there was a guy who vaccinated livestock.
For a living?
Yeah, for a living.
Oh.
And I was like, how'd you get into that? And he was like, I was at a hockey tournament with Hutterites.
What?
And you're like, I'm sorry, what? Like, how did you? He's like, I got into criminal justice, but then I went to a prison and they all did it. They all did. I you know, and I was like, this is way more interesting than anything I have to say.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just this guy saying, like, he got into criminal justice because he wanted to get people out, because he probably watched a bunch of Netflix docs where everybody was innocent, and then he got into a prison and realized, they all did it.
Right.
Every one of these guys did it. So he's like, nah, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Right, right.
And then he went to this hockey tournament with all these Hutterites, and they were like, we're really low on livestock vaccination experts. And I was like, so do you go to these places and give them needles? And he's like, no, you put it in their food.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, do they know it's in their food? And he's like, sometimes you'll put a little too much in and they'll kick you. Yeah. I was telling Tyler, like, the guy, he's like, you know, so sometimes you'll give a cow or a horse or whatever their dose of vaccination and they'll taste it and they'll be like, and then they'll, you know, give you a quick look and then kick you.
It's like, and it's too much.
Yeah, so he got kicked. And then there was this other guy from El Salvador, and he was too young. And he was like, you know, I left because of the war in El Salvador.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm sorry. This is like such a white guy response. But
I've never heard of this war.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't know there was a war in El Salvador. Yeah. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, who was? And he's like,
who's fighting who?
He's like, yeah, my 21 uncles.
Oh my God.
I'm like, your 21 uncles. Who did they fight? And he's like, the Mexicans. You know, and those are, and you just get to know these. And I'm like, what's your name? And he's like, they call me Thick and Juicy.
What is going on?
So there's this El Salvadorian dude called Thick and Juicy who fought in a war with his 21 uncles against the Mexicans. And then I'm like, and then he was originally from Moose Jaw.
What?
Yeah. So he's like, I lived in Moose Jaw. And then when I was 7, I moved to El Salvador. And then when I was 9, I had to leave because of my 21 uncle war versus the Mexicans. And I moved to Winnipeg. And I've never been back to El Salvador.
Oh, man.
It's just, you know, like, and there was a dietitian there, yeah. You know, like, there was, and I was like, what's your number one piece of advice? She's like, drink water, eat vegetables. And I'm like, why are there still dietitians? Like, why do we need dietitians now? We all know that.
Yeah.
Like, the only dietitian I want to know about is the one that's like, don't eat vegetables.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't drink.
And the reason why behind that.
Yeah, like, drink high sugar, pure leaf iced teas, just as you have been, Sean. They're fine.
Oh, man. I love this. Shout out to Thick and Juicy, I guess.
Yeah, Thick and Juicy,
I think,
man.
This might be the first time we name dropped someone from Winnipeg that was at the show beforehand.
And then as soon as the show was over, I walked by his table and he's like, yo, have a seat. Like, sit right here. And I was like, I'm not going to be sitting. I can't sit next to Thick and Juicy and have a conversation with Thick and Juicy. Like,
exactly.
I don't know, man. So, yeah, we didn't talk much after, but yeah, I mean, a lot of times, yeah, like I said, the interesting stories are in the crowd. Like, all you have to do is ask like 3 or 4 questions and you'll get into like, wait a minute, what?
Right,
like, what?
Right.
Your life story is insane.
Right. That's so interesting. And this is all just from Winnipeg people too. I can't imagine like else. Have you had places elsewhere that had crazier stories than Thick and Juicy?
Thick
I guess?
And Juicy had a pretty insane story. Like, there, yeah, everywhere you go. Like, if you just kind of like, hey, and it's usually not the person who wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the person who's like, yo, you don't want to talk to them.
Yeah.
Their story is usually pretty boring. Like, they want you to hear it badly. it's usually the person that you're just like, and they're just watching the show, and then you go, and you.
Yeah, yeah.
What the, you know, what's your story? And then they're like, me? I don't have a story. And then you ask four questions, and you realize, like, this person's, you know, has an insane story.
Now, going back, I was doing research in terms of, like, your earliest comedic ventures. When you were a kid, you would have cassettes with skits and impressions on it to show to your friends. Is there any info in terms of, like, the cassette? Like, what was on the cassette that you had?
They were usually, like, song parody, like, parodies, like, song parodies and stuff. And then, like, little – and it got – yeah, so it was, like, usually song parody stuff. And then some, like, you know, weird little plays or whatever, like three-character plays where I'd be all the voices and stuff. I don't know. It was weird.
Was it – what did it pay off for the other kids? Like, did they actually enjoy it? Or?
Well, some of them would be like, I don't know, I was into this crap, you know. But, like, some of them would be like, yeah, I want to listen to it. That sounds – I mean, there was lunchtime.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we can't go outside yet.
Did you sell them to, like, kids and be like, this is my way to make profit?
I should have sold them. But, yeah, there was no – it was just, like, one tape, and I would go – I don't even know why I did it, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was just, like, grade 5, grade 6, grade 7. I would go in with, like, a cassette tape of stuff that I had made and recorded at home. And then I would just, like, put it into the little cassette player there. And then maybe, like, 7 or 8 people would be like, yeah, well, sure, like, let's sit around. And because they'd be eating their lunch.
Right.
And they'd just be like, yeah, sure. Like, go ahead and play it. And then they'd just eat their Cheese Whiz sandwich and listen and go, oh, that's kind of funny. You know? And then the bell would ring. Oh, now we can go outside. Like, nobody did it of their own free will.
Right,
it wasn't like,
right,
hey, you can either leave or listen to this. It was like they were prisoners of lunchtime. And
basically,
then they would,
right.
Yeah, and then they're like, yeah, I might as well listen to it. What else are we going to do?
Your kids, they're around 10 at this point, right?
Yeah, like 11 and 9. So, yeah, pretty much in that zone.
Any chance they're doing the same thing or any early exposure to comedy or anything like that?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because the way kids, like if I was a comedian in the 80s, my kids would be like, my dad's a comedian,
right.
You know, like this is, he's pretty good, you know, like, but because it's 2020, like my kids, you know, like, oh, my dad's a comedian. And then they'll be like, let's check out how many, he's only got 700 followers on Twitter. Let's be serious. You know, like he's not doing well. So because they're exposed to the internet, they're like, he's not on TikTok. He's not on Instagram. He's got 700 followers on Twitter. He doesn't tweet.
Right.
You know, he's on Facebook like a grandpa. Like he's not a comedian.
Are there any comedians on TikTok at the moment?
Yeah.
Are there really?
Yeah. They get kind of dragged there, right? Well, because a lot of comedians are, you know, they are attention seekers, right? By nature.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
So they're like, where are the eyeballs? Where are people that I can reach? So they are on TikTok, and it's weird.
That's such a weird avenue for comedians to take, but is it successful, or are they making it work, or is it just...
I have no idea.
That's such a weird... Because I don't know a lot about TikTok, even though I probably should, being...
My kids are on TikTok.
Yeah,
my kids
are
on Instagram. My kids are like, my kids are on all these things that I'm not involved in. But, and it's weird because they don't look at anything I do online. Like,
okay.
I really don't think they do.
Yeah.
And I don't look at anything they do online. Like,
right.
I'm not, you know, my kids don't want me to look at their Instagram.
Right.
And I'm not following that on my Instagram. I'm not monitoring that.
Right.
But then the stuff that I do, like my podcast or whatever,
right.
they're not listening to that. Like,
right.
they're not that interested.
Interesting.
You know? But I think, like, you know, as they get older, they're more interested in comedy and stuff like that. And, like, what jokes do you tell? Or, you know, where are you going? What jokes are you going to do tonight? And I'm like,
right.
I don't know.
At what age was it hard for you to leave home? Like, at what age for them was it harder for you to leave home to, like, tour Canada and stuff like that? Has it become easier now that they're older?
Yeah, it's, you know, as soon as they have an understanding of the concept of money.
Right.
Then they're like, oh, okay, like you do have to leave, otherwise I don't get to, we're not going to go skiing if you don't leave, you know.
Right.
But yeah, so that time frame of like 4 till 7 or 8, it, where they're like, why are you leaving? Like,
right.
I have to go and make money. Money? What are you,
yeah.
why are you leaving us? What
right.
is money? Why are we, why does this happen?
Right, right.
So it makes you realize like, yeah, why do we do this? Like, why have we put ourselves in this crazy box? Where, like, everybody's got to have money or you're dead, you
right.
know? Humans aren't supposed to live like this.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah.
you know, it's better than savagery, I guess.
Right, for sure.
But now it's easy, yeah.
My last question for you, What was a weirder situation? I have to look this up. What was a weirder situation? Having a beer bottle thrown at you or a drunk guy going up and showing his pee-pee at you and then sitting back
How
down?
The hell did you find out about that?
I do my research, man. I do my research.
I think the one was weirder because the crowd thought it was my fault.
What? Really? Why? What?
Well, because the guy was like, it was just hammered at a bar.
Right.
And it was the last time that I ever did cold calls because I would, like, that was a run where I was like, you know what? I'm going to cold call bars.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And try to get some tours going. Why don't I do that? Be proactive. But every bar I booked on that run was just hell. And, like, this one, yeah. So they were, it was this guy that came up and tried to grab the microphone out of my hand. And I had to hold it up like this.
Yeah, like keep the weights up.
And then he took two steps back and pulled his pants down and, like, put his hands under his and lifted it up.
Sure.
And I was like, what is happening, I'm looking at, why am I looking at your and then the crowd was like, why are you looking, you sicko? So the whole crowd took his side. They're right. Like, it's not uncommon for Frank to show everybody it's not uncommon for Frank to try to show people his what is uncommon is that some freak looks at it. So they thought I was a lunatic for looking at the that was directly in front of me.
I think the cherry on top was that he just sat back down and acted like nothing happened, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he pulled his pants back up and sat down and, like, had his hand under his chin and was watching the show again. And I'm like, how can you just go back to real life like that? And they're like, he does that all the time. Like, the people in the town were like, oh, that, yeah, he pulls his out and shows it to everybody. You don't look at it. Yeah, that's, it's like the sun.
It's like a welcoming party for the newcomers or whatever.
So yeah, apparently I was the idiot, and I couldn't. That's the thing. Usually, when somebody does something crazy like that, you can at least turn it into something you can, like, get a bunch of laughs out of throughout the show.
Right.
They didn't think it was funny at all.
Really?
I was like, that guy just showed me his, and they're like, yeah, I know. Like, it didn't generate any. Like, so I had to see his. And then I couldn't get a laugh out of
it. There was no payoff for
that. Yeah, I was the idiot. he was the guy that just shows his penis, and I was the idiot that took a look at it.
Sean, I appreciate you swinging by, man. Always
hey, thanks
a
for having
you
me. It's awesome.
Best of luck this week.
That was great. Thanks.